The verse we just heard is in its a favor of so many people. For God so loved the world. We've been drilled with that verse. Bumper stickers, right? In my hometown, there was a church that was called John 3:16. And as a little kid, I was wondering, what in the world they have that name with a number? But it's a verse that is so beautiful. God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe should not perish. But I won't want to focus on that verse today. You notice the verse before? That's a stranger verse. We don't hear much about it. The verse that is just immediately before this well-beloved verse says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What a strange image of a snake. And especially Jesus saying, just like the snake was lifted up in the desert, I have to be lifted up. So he's sort of comparing himself to a serpent, to a snake. And what in the world is Moses doing in this story? To go back, because we're doing an adaptation of our morning prayer and using the readings for the Eucharist, which is the gospel, we're missing the first reading that we would normally have done if we were celebrating the Eucharist. And that book is, that reading is from the book of Numbers. And it tells a story of the people of Israel who were leaving Egypt. They're on the way to the promised land. They were traversing this desert, hungry, thirsty, and probably very, very sweaty. And they've been spending years. And they're almost there, but they start grumbling. They're saying, oh my God, where have you brought us? We're hungry, we're tired, we're thirsty. This is too hot. And then these serpents, these snakes, these fiery snakes come in and start biting the people. And God instructs Moses, create a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a staff. And when people look at the snakes, this bronze snake, they will be healed. Isn't it a strange story? Sounds a little bit more superstitious or some pagan ritual. Many people think it is. It is a very ancient story of the people of Israel. And it is something that many cultures know. Like heals like. An easy relationship we all have with serpents. Serpents, for many people, creep them out. Emily Dickinson has a poem called A Narrow Fellow in the Grass that speaks about these very common experiences, fear of snakes. She writes, "But never met this fellow, attended or alone, with eye at a tighter breathing and zero at the bone." Snakes are not everybody's cup of tea. I personally kind of like snakes. When I was little, I had snakes in my home. And I remember once I was in a village in Dominican Republic, a very remote place, and I was down in the river. That's where you wash your clothes and bathe. And I was on my way back to the village, and there was a snake, and I found it was a beautiful snake. I took it and put it around my shoulders. And there was this little boy who saw me, and he ran. And moments later, the whole village was down in the river because they heard the little boy, "The devil has appeared in the river." So the whole village came down. So snakes are a paradoxical manifestation of our fears, our confusion. So it's strange that Jesus chooses to compare himself with a snake. Snakes in many cultures are symbols of a lot of things. They're symbols of death and poison and killing, but they're also symbols of fertility. Snakes are a symbol of wise wisdom. They have eyes that never close. They slither like the water that undulates. So they're connected with something that is deep and mysterious, like the ocean and the waters. Snakes are also very close to the earth. They don't have legs. So they just se arrastran, we say in Spanish. They just creep around the earth, connected to the world, the underworld. They are symbols of rebirth. They shed their skin. They can kill and they can also give life. And in Greek mythology, there is Asclepius, who is taught by a serpent the knowledge of healing. That is why in the medical profession, one of the symbols is the staff of Asclepius. Asclepius bore a rod wreathed with a snake, and it became associated with healing. So that is interesting that all these symbols are connected to the serpent or to the snake. Jesus uses precisely all those symbols. The symbol of wisdom, of rebirth, of that which kills can also bring life. St. Ephrem of Syria wrote about this precise passage, says, "The serpent struck Adam in paradise and killed him. It also struck Israel in the camp and annihilated them. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, the Son of Man will be lifted up. Just as those eyes who look with bodily eyes at the sign which Moses fastened on a cross live bodily, so too those who look with spiritual eyes at the body of the Messiah nailed and suspended on the cross and believe in him will live spiritually." So many people feel offended by the cross. I've heard people tell me, "When are you going to take him down from there?" Others say, "That is a symbol of a death cult." It is true. We are uncomfortable with death. We are uncomfortable with the cross. We find it unnerving and we would like to dismiss it. Let's go directly to Easter and the celebration and the joy. However, primitive societies that we consider, they knew that life and death are intertwined. There is no way to separate those things. And that is true in Christianity, in Judaism, in Greek mythology. It is also true, for example, in Buddhism. You know the story of the legend of Siddhartha Gautama, who became the Buddha. Remember his father? Tried to prevent him from seeing aging, sickness, and death. He was kept in this golden palace, protected from all that is ugly and painful and suffering and death. However, the Buddha was only able to begin his path of enlightenment when he left the palace and encountered these three sufferings. Would encounter a person that was old and aging, would encounter someone who was sick, ill, when he encountered someone dead. I think this aversion for the cross, for pain, is in a society like ours, we're trying to push it far away. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't want to see death. We don't want to see poverty. We don't want to see discomfort or pain or ugliness. We just have to look at the ads on our TVs. We have lose weight without any diet. Put on this cream and you'll become young again. Drink this and you'll live longer. Or just plainly, let us not look at things that make me uncomfortable. There's no racism in our country. There's no poverty here. This was part of Hugh's sermon last week, remember? About the cleansing of the temple. We look convenience, that which is more comfortable, but that disconnects us from true life. When Jesus compared himself, "I have to be like that snake," he was alerting us what was going to happen, his passion and his death. And in a way, it was for me saying, "Don't be afraid. I know you'll be scared. I know it'll be painful. But truly understand that only through that darkness will come the light." You probably notice in church, we usually don't have flowers, but this Sunday we have flowers up there. And somebody might say, "Why are there flowers up there? It's supposed to be Lent." Today is the fourth Sunday. It's called Letare Sunday, the Sunday of joy. And it's in a little of a breather in the middle of the Lenten season. It's sort of when you're going to dive, you take a deep breath and you go in. So those pink flowers are a reminder like there's two more weeks to go before Holy Week. And it's a way of saying, breathe deep, let's go deeper. So on this fourth Sunday of the season of Lent, as we take a little breather and as we recognize we only have two more weeks, the invitation is, take a deep dive. Let us prepare ourselves even more enthusiastically with our spiritual practices as we gather together soon, in 2 weeks' time, to meditate on the passion and death and cross of Jesus Christ. But knowing that that is not the end, we will come to celebrate Easter. But Jesus is telling us that will not happen without the suffering and the death. As we contemplate our aging bodies, Hugh with his shoulder, me with cataract surgery, Ava who's had cancer in her leg, we're confronted, each one of us, to the pains and the sufferings that are part of humanity. But let us hear the words of Jesus who invites us, "Look upon me. Do not be afraid. In the midst of anything that is painful, trust, look at me in the eyes, and you will receive life and light." O God of the covenant, in the glory of the cross that we're so afraid of, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over your people. In this time that where we turn our lives towards you even more, draw all people to yourself, that we who confess Jesus is Lord may put aside the deeds of death and accept the gift of life in your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.